everybody. This is Chris.
And Kathy.
We wanted to take a minute to thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate every listener and are grateful for this platform.
Please help us share our vision by subscribing to our show through your favorite streaming app. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
Check out our ever-growing list of affiliates and sponsors. Simply go to the show notes for information and links.
And be sure to use our promo code PETPOD22, that's PETPOD22, on checkout to receive your discount from our affiliates. And now here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Alon Landa, CEO of MedcoVet, and I'm a proud sponsor of Petability. We decided to partner with Chris and Kathy because, like them, we want to empower all pet owners who are trying to do the most for their pets. At MedcoVet, we specialize in advanced home laser therapy for pets. Laser therapy is a safe and effective treatment for common conditions like arthritis and wounds, and it relieves pain for most conditions caused by inflammation. With MedcoVet, pet owners can perform this treatment at home while receiving support from experienced clinicians. If you think your pet would benefit from healing at home, visit MedcoVet.com, and one of our clinical experts will work with you to determine if home laser therapy is the right fit for you and your pet. Tell them Petability sent you.
Welcome to Petability. I'm your host, Kathy Simons.
And I'm your host, Chris Cranston. Our podcast provides interviews and information to help your pets live their best lives.
I am so excited about today's interview. Today, we are going to be speaking with licensed acupuncturist and Chinese herbalist, Carol Hetherington. Carol is the owner of Blue Heron Acupuncture. She has two practices, one for animals and one for people. Carol is a graduate of the New England School of Acupuncture. She completed her clinical trainings at Pathway to Wellness in Boston. Carol is also a participant in Acupuncturists Without Borders, and Carol is also a certified Reiki practitioner. In her previous life, before all that happened, Carol was a veterinary technician, and that's how I know her. So someone I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and someone I'm very pleased to introduce to you today, my friend, Carol Hetherington.
The crowd goes wild.
Thank you so much for having me.
Carol.
Yes, welcome, Carol. In all sincerity.
Thank you.
And I've had the pleasure of working with Carol in the past as well. And so this interview may be a little less formal than some of our others, just because we all know each other from previous times. So, but
like old times.
Yes. like old times. So getting right into it, if we may, if our listeners aren't familiar with acupuncture, Carol, how would you describe it? And I guess I'd like you to go into both the physical sensation of needles, because I think all of us know that acupuncture utilizes needles. In other words, does it hurt? You know, will my pet react to it in a negative way because of the physical sensation, but also expounding on how it works from the Eastern medicine point of view.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably one of the most common questions that I get. So in a typical treatment, I do an initial assessment of the animal, and that includes looking over referral notes from a veterinarian. And then I have a huge mattress in my dog office. Everybody gets comfy on the mattress. And I will insert between 10 and 20 hair-thin needles. They really are the thickness of a hair. I actually one time took, I was able to fit 30 acupuncture needles inside a regular syringe needle. So they're very tiny.
Wow.
They're really not painful at all. And most of the time, the animals don't even realize that there's anything in their skin at all. And they're typically inserted relatively superficially, not painful at all. Having been a vet tech, I really like being the fun one now. I'm not the scary one anymore. the treatments typically last 20 to 30 minutes. Most of the time, After one or two needles go in, they get very relaxed. Most of them will fall asleep at some point. But if they don't fall asleep, then they get snacks, and usually that will hold their attention for the rest of the treatment.
That's called snacky puncture, Carol.
Exactly. And then if they fall asleep, it's called nappy puncture.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
I like to say I treat by permission only, and I mean permission of the animal. I don't restrain for acupuncture, and I've never needed to. Because it really isn't painful, and it's very relaxing, and it's actually been really gratifying to see animals excited to come back for another treatment, because they don't feel uncomfortable, and in fact they feel better when they leave, and I think they're able to make that association and really look forward to coming back.
Yeah, I've seen you work with some extraordinary animals who you've gained the trust of, which is always incredible and inspiring for me. I mean, I know you had a cat patient that you adored so much, and you would set up a pillow for her on your console, and she would just get up there and curl up, and she'd be
take
like,
a little
okay,
nap.
Yeah, and she'd go, you know, okay, let's make with the needles. You know,
They want to get going.
Let's talking more needles. Yeah.
So I think the second most common question I get is, how the heck does acupuncture work? So, I have years of training in what points to use for what issue. And so I place the needles in very specific acupuncture points in the body that send signals to the body. And those specific signals, go to a certain area and encourage the body to heal itself. So it's not like taking a pill or a surgery where you're overriding the body's systems and forcing it into a different direction, which sometimes is necessary. But with acupuncture, I think of the needles as making suggestions. And if the body takes those suggestions, then it will make changes naturally. And oftentimes, those results are more likely to hold and maintain because the body's actually done the work itself. There's lots of high-quality research studies showing all kinds of systemic responses to acupuncture. They've noted reduced inflammatory proteins in the blood, improved blood counts and organ chemistry. Acupuncture releases natural endorphins, which is that runner's high. It releases natural cortisol, which can, again, reduce inflammation in the body. So the really wonderful thing is you can have a local effect, but it also has systemic effects in the body.
And these all sound very, very positive. Is there anything that acupuncture may do that could be a negative effect?
So in the hands of a licensed, trained acupuncturist, it's probably one of the safest modalities you could ever find. I like to tell my clients, usually the very worst thing that'll happen is nothing. So there's very rare side effects with acupuncture.
Amazing.
Carol, now we had this, you and I go way, way back as far as practicing together as veterinary technicians, and I sort of watched this transition of you from what we were doing in medicine to sort of leaning and moving more towards incorporating holistic medicine, acupuncture, Reiki into more of your practicing as a technician. So I'm wondering, is that what drew you in this direction? What drew you to acupuncture and this more holistic thinking, or maybe even the integration of more of these Eastern thoughts into the Western medicine?
Yeah. So my original background was very Western science. I have a bachelor's of science. And as you said, I was a vet tech for 10 years. And the veterinarian that we worked for had an acupuncturist on staff. And I remember so clearly being incredibly skeptical that anything she was doing was going to help at all.
I know. Me too.
It's ironic. Ironic now. Yeah. But I was open-minded enough to watch over time that the patients we were treating that were also getting acupuncture and herbs as a group just did better, especially with chronic illness and pain management and things where Western medicine sometimes struggles. The acupuncture and the herbs really, those animals just did better. They lived longer, they felt better, they had less pain, they had less side effects to medication, they were more relaxed. And I was so intrigued by that, and eventually I just decided that I needed to learn more about it. So I went, like you said, to the New England School of Acupuncture. It's a 4-year program. And wow. I think it's important for your listeners to know how much training goes into becoming a licensed acupuncturist. I mm-hmm. have about 2,000 hours of classroom training and 1,000 hours of clinical treatment, supervised treatment. So that'd be kind of like the Western medical doctor would be equivalent, like a residency. So I have 3,000 hours of training
wow.
in acupuncture.
Carol, you go, girl.
And I do treat animals and humans, but I have different offices for them. I don't have my human clients lay down on the floor.
But do you ever mess up and tell you and say, "Oh, good girl," to one of your?
Yes,
you did a good job.
I try not to feed snacks to my
human
clients.
Here's a cookie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or at least
here's
not
a dog treat.
Yeah,
right.
So in your animal practice, then, what are the diagnoses that you most commonly treat?
So I think most people have heard of acupuncture for pain. So I do, I would say probably 60% of my practice, people seek me out for pain-related syndromes. So that's either acute injury or post-operative pain or more chronic arthritis or, you know, spinal problems, things of that nature. But acupuncture really is a full system of medicine. So it can treat the immune system, allergies, organ function, sleep, anxiety, and a whole host of just the chronic issues that come along with geriatric medicine. Probably 70% of my patients are older. And again, like I said, it's the chronic issues that show up that I think that's where acupuncture really shines.
Do you think that folks seek you out because they're looking for something additional that maybe Western medicine isn't, you know, touching the issue, or they're not getting the desired results, and so it's something that the next step or the next layer? Or have you found that enough people are aware of acupuncture and its benefits that they're seeing you more as a first line of defense?
You know, these days I see both, but I want to be really clear that I work directly with veterinarians, and it's what I call an integrative model. It's kind of the standard of care that's popping up all over the country now, to where you have Western and Eastern medicine working hand in hand together. That way you get the best of both worlds. I don't practice instead of Western medicine. It's mm-hmm. it's in addition to. So what ends up happening is if I were to treat animals that hadn't also been seen by a vet, acupuncture is really great at helping with pain. But two things can happen with that. You can either mask something that's more serious that also requires Western care, for example, like a tumor. Mm-hmm. Or a fracture. You know, if the pain is better, then you might not seek out further care. But also, you know, animals can't self-report in English. So if they're hunched over, you can't really tell necessarily, is it because their liver's enlarged or because they pulled a muscle? So mm-hmm. I really like to work with veterinarians to make sure we have a good, solid diagnosis as a foundation for the assessment and treatment that I do. But I do have people that seek out care right away in addition to their Western care, and also for prevention, not just for when there's been a diagnosis, but also to maintain health and to prevent injury and disease. And it shines in both ways.
Gotcha.
Carol, how do you know if your patient is responding to acupuncture? You know, I've seen when you were first getting started, I saw you do acupuncture on these little puppies. The mother had a cesarean section, and we had a lot of puppies. We must have had 7 or 8 of the puppies, and a lot of them just wouldn't wake up, you know. And I saw you take a little teeny tiny needle, probably the size of an insulin needle, and just gently, you know, kind of poke the little frenulum of the,
yep.
the little lip there, and they went, and they took a
yep.
breath, and I thought, wow, that is amazing, because it was such an immediate response, and I could see it, right? And that was
yep.
the other thing, I could see
yep.
it. So how do we know? I mean, that I could say.
Well, and that's really a really important question, because
yeah.
I don't want to waste people's time and money. I want to make sure that we're having measurable outcomes. So it's really great when you get immediate results like that. And acupuncture can work that quickly in a profound way. Mm-hmm. So I'll have some dogs that come in limping really badly or not bearing weight on a leg. And after the treatment, they're walking better. So you can see an immediate change. And that's objective measurement. But you know, I'm always excited when we can retest with a vet, either get a follow-up x-ray or follow-up blood work or other specific markers that we can watch over time that are objective. Mm-hmm. And in lieu of that, I ask my clients to come up with a list of objective behaviors that they can monitor over time. So for example, if the dog is coming in because it's having trouble getting up from the floor or having trouble laying down or trouble doing stairs. And those are measurable behaviors that we can watch over time to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. And it's the kind of thing, it's cumulative. It's like physical therapy or going to the gym, because it's asking the body to treat itself. You know, if you went to the gym once a month, you're not going to see a change. So this is a repeat therapy that we see change gradually over time. And then I often recommend maintenance treatments just to hold the improvements that we've gotten.
Is everyone a candidate for acupuncture as far as species go? So I know I've seen you treat dogs and cats and bunnies, but what about what about guinea pigs or turtles, iguanas? Are all these animals a candidate for acupuncture?
Any living creature can benefit from acupuncture. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are some logistics with certain species.
Yes, of course.
One of my colleagues actually is the acupuncturist for the New England Aquarium, and she's gotten to treat sea turtles. I'm very jealous about that.
Oh, that's amazing. I'd love that.
And some of the penguins as well. Oh. But I did treat a guinea pig once. Actually, that was a very dramatic case. He stopped eating, and his mom brought him in to me. It turns out he had really bad arthritis and wasn't eating because he was in pain. And I put some needles in. I honestly, so tiny, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But he started eating while the needles were in for the first time in 4 or 5 days. It was really exciting.
That's amazing.
I just got goosebumps, Carol.
I know. So I didn't expect to be doing a lot of emergency acupuncture, but with rabbits and guinea pigs, it can actually be life-saving. Yeah. Rabbits love acupuncture. And for those who don't know, if rabbits have digestive problems, that can be really life-threatening. And oftentimes if I can get to them right away, I can get them eating and eliminating right then in that treatment, and get them back on track so that things don't get worse.
Yeah, that can be life-threatening for bunnies whose GI tracts come to a halt. You know, it actually brings me to a memory I have of you, Carol, first of all, what I'd like to say, I'd like to go back for a second and say that I think that anybody who has a pet like a rabbit or a guinea pig or a chinchilla or a ferret who's has a relationship and has gained the trust of these small animals, that's very special and sacred. So that's because everything in the DNA of those animals tells them
they're prey,
run away, this isn't safe, danger, distress. So I'm always impressed when people have these trusting relationships with these small animals. So if you have a bunny or a guinea pig or a ferret or a chinchilla and you've gained their trust, that's very special. But aside from that, one day I came in and I saw you in your room treating the cutest, tiniest little bunny with her little ears and her little nose. And she was pissed though. She was pissed. She was pissed. You know who I'm talking about, right? The little tiny, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah. She was adorable.
But the other thing though, you know, maybe she was angry, maybe she wasn't, but she looked like she was. She was giving you the stink eye.
I think she had a resting bad face.
She was maybe a resting angry face. But
it made
me think of a couple of things. It made me think, one, acupuncture, of course, is good for overall health and for treating disease and conditions. It's also good for mental health for animals as well. But also, it's a good experience for owners to have to continue that bond with their pet. Right. So even though the bunny may or may not have been angry with you, she was enjoying and tolerating it and sitting there with her owner because she had that trust, and that continued to further their bond.
Absolutely.
So I really enjoy seeing that with owners and you and the patients, that it's a good experience. It's a pleasant experience. And yep. overall, it's a nice, good bonding experience for the
patient. Well, and it can reinforce that because, like I said before, it literally does release endorphins into the body, which is a very relaxing sensation. So I actually do treat a lot of animals that have anxiety or PTSD, either because of previous abuse or just general fear or just, you know, just temperament. And it can really help them be more like themselves with less fear and less anxiety, which can bleed over into the relationship at home. Once they're more calm and relaxed, they can think for themselves and learn and be more trusting with their humans. It's a real gift to have that
capability. It really is.
When you talked, you mentioned the endorphins a couple of times, and I think I've heard an analogy to like natural opioids or something like that. Has anybody else heard that?
The endorphins and cortisol are chemicals that are produced naturally in the body that are released during an acupuncture treatment. And it feels very much like a runner's high, if anyone knows what that feels like, where you just get this overall body relaxation and pain perception is altered. That fight or flight response, that sympathetic nervous system is turned down. And in fact, they've looked at the brain response to acupuncture is profound. It can actually kind of turn off that fight or flight system and focus more on the parasympathetic nervous system, which is about relaxation and rest and things like that. So that's a huge part of the effects of the treatments for sure.
You also mentioned with the guinea pig that, you know, it had severe arthritis. And when you said that, it just struck me because, again, I think that fairly recently, we just started as a community in the veterinary community to realize how prevalent arthritis is in dogs, for example. And then now, I guess cats get arthritis too. And now you mentioned a guinea pig. And, you know, it's a wear and tear of the joints. You know, it's not like it's that.
It's not species specific.
Right.
Yeah.
And any species can have wear and tear of the joints, you know, depending on their lifestyle and aging and so forth. So,
well, and one of the gifts of acupuncture for some of those little pets, rabbits and guinea pigs in particular, are very sensitive to Western medications, and don't often do well, or you risk, you know, organ damage or other things. And so having, acupuncture in the toolkit can really prevent damage while promoting comfort levels. A lot of times acupuncture is used in conjunction with those medications, and it can reduce the side effects of those meds or mean that they can take smaller doses and get the same effect. And that's that synergistic integrative model that's just so wonderful.
Absolutely.
We did, Carol and I worked together not that long ago with a little dove. She was very senior. I can't even, I'm going to say 30 maybe.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so she had significant osteoarthritis. It was difficult to give her any type of medication because of her age and her other medical conditions. And we used a combination of laser and acupuncture with her, and it was really, really beneficial to her. And if you're an animal that has two legs and you have arthritis in one, that's problematic. But if you have them in both, it's really problematic for you. So it really worked very quite well to the sort of joining of the two, the acupuncture with the rehab for her.
And I actually do I have my own office, acupuncture office for animals, but I also once a week spend some time treating patients at a rehabilitation center. So then there, most of what I'm doing is orthopedic treatments. Mm-hmm. But the combination of physical therapy with acupuncture is absolutely dynamic. I think the combination makes both of those modalities so much more effective together.
Right. And sometimes we'll even incorporate chiropractic into that, depending on what's going on with the patient as well. So I think, yes, what was the word? Synergistically? Yeah. Synergistically. I think those all really work really well together. As long as, you know, you have your somebody who is licensed in acupuncture and the person who's doing rehab is certified and as well as the chiropractor.
Yeah. And the training of the practitioners is really critical.
It really is. Yeah. Agreed.
So Carol, you said that, you primarily, you know, work with veterinarians and, ensure that you get an accurate diagnosis before you proceed. So what happens if somebody just reaches out to you on their own? Like how does that go? What's the
Probably half of the folks that reach out to me found me on the internet or word of mouth.
Sure.
You know, so if they didn't come directly from a veterinarian, then I have a one-page form that I fax to their vet just to get a basic health history and any, you know, medications or diagnostics that have been done just so that I have a good foundation in Western medicine before I proceed. And I take care of that for the client. So
that's great. Yeah.
So it's fine either way.
And it's not necessarily then an extra visit. You're going based on their history with that veterinarian and so
right.
forth, unless it was a brand new diagnosis, I'm assuming.
Exactly. Yeah.
That
so they don't need to be seen again by the veterinarian. I just send them a form they fill out and fax back to me.
Gotcha. We talked a little bit about, you know, the various species. Then you said really any species is a candidate. You mentioned some logistical things. You said how it can help with I don't want to use the word temperament because my question was going to be, is there a temperament of an animal that is more of a candidate for acupuncture than another? Or can you always work around that?
So, I think the biggest issue for me is that they need to be able to travel. I don't do house calls. There are acupuncturists that do house calls, but for my practice, if the trip to my office is terrifying, I'm not sure that's useful.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they need to come back once a week for 2 months. So I think the biggest issue is, can they travel okay? Beyond that, I have had quite a few dogs, and cats that have come into my office terrified because they think they're going to the vet. And there are acupuncture points for relaxation. So if I can just sit with them long enough to get one needle in their head and then we just hang out, talk, wait, and eventually the acupuncture kicks in and they'll just kind of decide on their own to, oh, maybe I should just lay down for a little while. and then I can get the rest of the needles in. Right. So the acupuncture takes care of itself. I just have to, and again, like I said, I treat by permission only. So
I love that.
There's only been, I think, one or two cases in the 10 years I've been practicing where we couldn't make it happen because of fear or other issues. But for the most part, the acupuncture takes care of that. If I can get one needle in, we're good. Snacks also help.
Well, and then you said the one needle in their head. I think hearing that, you know, our audience may be like, "What? That's where you start, you know, by poking a dog in its head or an animal."
Yep.
So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I've seen that done, and I've seen how quickly it changes their level of anxiety. So
the needle that I feel like I need to clarify, the needle that I use for that is like maybe a half inch long. It's very tiny. So I'm not jamming it into their brain or anything. I feel like I needed to say that.
Yeah. It's not a lobotomy.
Right. just because it sounds scary if you haven't seen it. But, I thread it into the skin on the top of the head in a way where they can't see it because they get disturbed if they can see something dangling off their head.
Yeah.
So it's just a quick little tap and it goes right in and then we just wait. And you can literally see their breathing will change, their eyes will get softer, and they'll just lay down. It's like magic.
Yeah. Yeah. My dogs use Carol terribly. They don't even pay her.
They don't even
anything.
Say thank you.
They don't even say thank you. They just back it up and you're like, okay.
Do it.
But, you know, when we did Digger, if you think about it from his perspective, you know, he's blind and he has a history of traumatic emotional trauma. But as soon as he'd get that needle on the head, he'd be like, I feel a little bit better, you know, and he would relax and go to sleep.
And snore,
and then and then fart, and then get snacks,
and then you know they're really relaxed, right?
Yeah,
right?
And then And then when it was done, it, like right on time, he'd be like, all right, see ya.
I'm out of here. I'm out of here. He never even said thank you.
He never even said thank you. No, no. But you know, thinking from his perspective about how frightening things might be for him because he can't see, right? Getting that needle in his forehead was like,
just complete relaxation.
I have to tell you that I've actually had that needle point done on me as well. So I've had the experience of that, I want to call it euphoria.
It's utter peace and relaxation.
Yeah, exactly. It feels euphoric to me. And honestly, while I'm getting acupuncture, I'm thinking, can we just go ahead with the forehead needle? Just move this along to the forehead, right?
Good stuff.
Exactly. So I can, you know, I imagine that the feeling is probably similar for animals.
So Carol, have you ever had to, just for their experience, do you ever offer to put a needle in an owner just to see, you know, show them that they really don't feel anything? You know, how do you get buy-in if somebody is skeptical? You know, if their vet said, oh, I think your pet could benefit from acupuncture, and they're reluctant. You know, it's not somebody that's seeking you out proactively, you know.
Right. Yeah, really good question. So I don't typically needle my human clients in the dog office for a variety of reasons. There's things like release forms and, you know, HIPAA and things like that. But I show them the needles, and they're so tiny. Once they see what they look like, they go, oh, that's okay.
Because yeah,
they really are
that's
just
it.
So small. Yeah. In fact, if you don't look carefully, you can't even really see the body of the needle because they really are the thickness of a hair. So usually that's enough. And then if people are nervous, I say, well, let's just put one in and see what happens. And I secretly smile because I know what will happen. That one needle in, and then the dog's like, I'm just going to take a nap now. and usually that's all it takes.
Oh, they get so snuggly. I want to snuggle them. I don't want to interrupt their session, but I'm like,
yes.
So I'm a little bit confused, though, because if these needles are that small, then how do you ensure that you get them all out again? And especially with those fluffer nutters out there,
right,
with the really thick
yes.
coats.
So with my animal practice, I count every single needle. So I don't let them leave until every single needle's been found. Not because it would, you know, if they walked out the door with a needle in, it's not going to damage them, but animals have a bad habit of eating things.
So I
worry that they might find it later and eat it. So nobody leaves my office till every needle is accounted for. And I have had a few instances with, a Great Pyrenees that we had to find a comb and comb him out to find a couple
of
them, because I literally couldn't find them by feel.
Oh my goodness.
but I am, that's a really good question. I'm very careful about that just because we don't want any foreign body situations.
Yeah. And what if they shake and then the needles go flying and then,
well, yeah,
you know,
that happens sometimes. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So when you say you account for them, both those that you find in the office that may have flown out as well as the ones that are still in. Okay, good.
Right.
Good.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, that does happen. Sometimes they get up and walk around while the needles are in. Sometimes they'll shake. And I always tell my clients, you know, the worst thing that'll happen is they fall out. And you know, if we need to, we'll put some back in. And if not, it's not a big deal. So there's really the worst thing that happens is nothing. So they're not going to be injured by that.
And I've heard over the years that just the act of putting the needle in has a therapeutic effect. So yes, ideally you want it to remain in for a certain period of time, which I would like you to speak to, but even just the fact that you put it in that point changes things.
As soon as you stimulated the point, there's a cascade of physiologic processes that are triggered. In fact, in my human practice, I often see small children, even infants, and for little kids, I actually will insert a needle and take it right out. And I get great results that way. So the amount of time the needle's in is less critical than that you get the right points. So a typical appointment for the dogs or for the animals would be 20 to 30 minutes with the needles in. But, you know, for like the guinea pig, his needles were in maybe 7-10 minutes at most. And he got great results. That was all he needed. So that's another thing that I really listen to the animals and let them tell me what they need. I don't go by the clock. So oftentimes there's this rhythm where I'll put the needles in, they'll get relaxed, they'll fall asleep. And then at some point, not based on the clock, but based on what their physiology is doing, they'll wake up or become more alert and they're done. And so if that's been 10 minutes, they're done. If it's been 20 minutes, they're done. And I really let the animals tell me. I don't go by the clock.
So Carol, does that mean that you remain with them throughout that time?
Yep. And I have the owner sit with them as well.
Great. Yep.
So we all snuggle on the bed together. I love my job.
I know, it's really cool. And it gets all, you know, I wonder when I come to the acupuncturist office, you know, and I've experienced that euphoria from the needles and the treatment and how good it feels. I start to feel it when I get in the waiting room. Like I've made an association between that feeling.
Yep.
Euphoric and where I am. And I wonder if animals are experiencing that a little bit too. When they get to the clinic, are they getting a little bit of serotonin when they just get there because they know they're going to feel good? It's hard to say. But
all I know is that my office has windows onto the parking lot. And so I can see the dogs in particular. When they get to the parking lot, they literally drag their people in on a run. They get into my office.
Such a great feeling.
And then they jump on the bed facing the right way in the correct position, and they're like, chop, chop, get
all
to
right,
it.
Let's go. And then they sort of walk out like, you know, acky-stoned after.
Yes,
they're like, yeah.
Yes, and I say, just don't let them operate heavy machinery
don't
afterwards.
Let them operate heavy machinery or drive any cars.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
It feels good.
Carol, can you repeat again? You've again touched on it a few times, but when you're starting out a treatment, how frequently you ask the animal to typically come in, and then over time, how that may wane, just
right.
So people know what to expect.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So this is very individualized medicine. There's no recipe, one size fits all, but I can give you general information about that. I do an assessment when they first come in, and the factors I'm looking at are intensity of the problem, like how much pain they're in or how serious their illness is and how long it's been going on for, and also how old they are, because those are the factors that will dictate how quickly their body's able to respond to the treatments. So for an acute situation in a young, healthy dog, I might see them four or five times once a week, and then they're discharged and they're all set. For older dogs or dogs with more serious health conditions, typically I'll tell the clients 6 to 8 weeks of once a week treatment, and then we'll kind of reassess. And my goal is to do the least amount of treatment needed to get the results we're looking for. So sometimes after those weekly sessions, we'll go to every other week for a while, and then every 3 weeks. And again, with the older dogs, I really do recommend maintenance treatments every maybe once a month, just to kind of, because most of these issues are progressive problems that degenerate over time. So we want to maintain the results that we've gotten. But it really depends on the specific situation.
That makes total sense. And then if you were titrating the frequency of the treatment and you saw a negative response, then you would go back to more frequent again for
yep.
a time.
And that does happen. I think I want to, you know, get people to maintenance as quickly as possible just for, you know, time, effort, and money. But I've learned that if we taper too quickly, then the body will start to slide back. So we really have to get a good foundation of improvement before starting to taper. Most older dogs can go to once a month unless it's something really serious.
And I'm thinking about those rehab candidates, because this happens often where, you know, they're doing great, but you know they have arthritis, but, you know, everything's controlled.
Right.
And then something happens. You know, they take a tumble or, you know, so then you have kind of that relatively acute on chronic, for which we may need to see them both in rehabilitation more frequently.
Exactly.
And you may have to do acupuncture more frequently until you can get back to that.
Exactly. And so I'm really clear with folks about that, you know, if we're on a maintenance frequency and something acute happens, that maintenance is for maintaining current status.
Levels,
and
yeah.
As opposed to more frequent would be treatment to make a change. So if we've been on once a month and then they fall down the stairs, then we need to go back to maybe once a week for a few weeks just to get back to a baseline. So it's a very flexible process, and it really is very individualized based on the specifics of that animal.
You're so clear, Carol, and I love the analogies that you've used, and, you know, to help me understand more. And, you know, and I feel like I've had a lot of experience, not personally necessarily, nor even with my pets, but, you know, been in facilities where there are folks, you know, professionals that do acupuncture. So I'm not completely out of the loop, but I have learned, you know, so much today.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So we've talked a lot about the results and things. Is there anything else that you would like to share in terms of an unexpected result that, you've seen that our audience may not be aware of? Anything that we...
Well, I mean, I think the cases that are most gratifying for me are, I really love my older clients. So I do a lot of geriatric care, things like, you know, kidney disease, chronic arthritis, pain problems. I do a lot of supportive care with oncology cases. And so I wouldn't say those are unexpected results, but those are definitely the most gratifying. I do have some favorite success stories.
Well, I was going to say, is there one story or even more that come to mind? In terms of,
as an example, and again, this doesn't surprise me, but I'm constantly amazed by how profound this medicine can be. I have a patient that I've been seeing for quite a while. It's a retired service dog who was diagnosed with hemangiosarcoma, which, for those who don't know, is just a catastrophic type of cancer. Mm-hmm. And she did Western therapies. I believe the tumor was surgically removed. And then in addition to that, she started with me right away doing weekly acupuncture and also Chinese herbs. And she started home cooking for her dog. So nutrition is a huge part of health. And that was, I think, almost 18 months ago, something like that. And she's still cancer-free at this point and going strong. And so in general with hemangiosarcoma, they really, like 3 months life expectancy would be a good outcome. So I'm not surprised by this, but it is truly amazing how much it can help the body heal itself. And this is also a really great example of Western and Eastern medicine being used together synergistically. So, and it's not that she's, you know, hanging on by a thread and every day's torture. She's living well. She feels
she's
good.
Fine. Yeah.
So it's not about more time. It's about more good time.
Yes.
So the combination of the herbs and acupuncture and nutrition plus the Western therapies is just a really dynamic combination.
And I think that dog, you know, that the owner was very proactive in seeking out things even prior to once the diagnosis happened. So you would see that dog, she was already set for, I believe she had surgery to remove the tumor. And then she was pretty much as soon as she could right into.
As soon as she could leave the house, we started with treatment.
With acupuncture. And I think that was key.
And that's actually
one of the key factors for her as well.
A really good point to bring up is that when the body's healing naturally, that takes time.
Yep.
And that's both the curse and the blessing of this medicine, that it's a natural process that the body's undertaking itself, but it's not a quick fix. And so I do have clients who come to me saying, I've tried everything else. You're my last resort. And while I can help, in my mind, I'm sad that they didn't come sooner because it takes time to make progress and to see the changes happen. And for certain things, you know, the change isn't fast enough. So getting into the integrative medicine right away when you get a diagnosis is really key for improving outcomes.
Agreed. And kudos for this owner because she was her dog's advocate. I love to see it when the veterinarians and team members can put the team together, but to see the owner go and be proactive in putting a team together for her dog was really instrumental in her dog's longevity. Was
absolutely
like being an advocate.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, this is not a quick fix. So, you know, there needs to be the clients that I have are so committed and devoted to their animals that they would come consistently over time. To provide the best possible care for their pets is really inspiring.
Yeah. And those people are often not getting the things that they need because they're taking care of their dogs. Right, they're not getting their own acupuncture or their own
quite a few of my human clients started out as animal clients and they finally decided, well, I want what they're having.
I want that too.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Do you feel like over the years, Carol, that, that people are seeking you out more in, on the front end, because it just seems like it's more prevalent, right? I'm seeing more, animal acupuncturists in the community, as well as, you know, for people. And this is just becoming more and more accepted over time. You know, I've been doing this almost 20 years and acupuncture was pretty rare back then.
Yeah.
Now it seems much more available. So,
I mean, unfortunately, in this country, we're a little bit behind the times. In most of the rest of the world, integrative medicine using acupuncture and herbs has been commonplace for decades. But we are getting there. And I think people are more educated about what's possible and what's out there. But also, I think there's been a shift in thinking about the health and well-being of pets. And I think a lot of them are seen more as non-human family members that deserve good nutrition and good health care. And I think that shift in mentality has also driven people to seek out all possible treatment modalities. Right?
And like you said, not a last resort, you know, proactive, you know.
We have our animals that we integrated into our homes because they can, you know, they're working or their service or whatever. We've had a long history of working with dogs, but absolutely I would consider my dog a family member and would do what I felt would be, you know, appropriate and reasonable things. And I think the other thing that's changed a lot is, veterinary medicine's changed quite a bit as well, and it's continuing to develop, but owners concerned about their pets' emotional lives as well. So I think there's definitely been a change in their thinking about what are our pets experiencing emotionally?
Absolutely.
Well, Carol, this was fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love this.
No, it's been great. This is my favorite subject to talk
now
about.
Now I want acupuncture. I'm on my way over. Okay. All right. Carol, before we close, can you tell people, where can they find you? If they want to get a treatment for their animals, where can they find you?
Yep, absolutely. So my phone number, I'm happy to give that out, is 401-528-9980. 401-528-9980. That's my office number. Email is blue.heron.acup@gmail.com. Let me spell that. It's blue.heron.acup@gmail.com. I also have a website. It's Blue Heron Acupuncture /animals.
Okay. Carol, let me ask you, what was the name Blue Heron Acupuncture? I love the name.
Yeah.
Was there something that inspired you? What the Blue Herons inspired
yes,
you?
Yes, that's actually a very sentimental name for me. I've always loved birds.
Yes.
As you know. And I've always loved blue herons, but my grandfather, actually, that was his favorite bird. And there was nesting pairs outside the condo where he lived. And and he really adored them, and he didn't get to see me graduate from acupuncture school. So it's a little bit of a nod to my granddad, who was one of my biggest fans.
Very nice. Very nice.
So cool, Carol.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much for your time. And I don't think we actually said where you are located. Where is your office?
Oh, yep. So my animal and people offices are both in Franklin, Massachusetts. And then the rehabilitation center that I'm at is in Walpole. Sterling Animal Rehab Center of New England is in Walpole, Mass.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you start to get more phone calls and emails and things. And I'm not sure how many will be for the pets and how many will be for the people. So you'll have to let us know if you get an uptick once this is published.
All right. I'm happy to take all comers.
All right. Well, thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed our show. Follow us on Facebook or on Instagram at Petability Podcast.
For more information about Kathy's books and living with blind dogs, please go to enableyourpet.com. Thank you, and please tune in next time.